Good morning. This is the regularly scheduled meeting of the Zoning Committee. I'm Mary Norwood, the chair of the committee. To my right is Ivory Lee Young. To my left is Alex Wan. And to his left is Howard Shook. And we are joined by Theo Pace, by our zoning administrator, Brandy Crawford, and by Angela Campbell. And our law department in the front row. Thank you for being here. Without objection, we will, we need to make two amendments to the agenda before we adopt it. One is to accept a walk-in paper, and the second is to rearrange the order to have the presentation as the final item today after we deal with legislation. All right, there's a motion to adopt as amended. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
It's done. Approval of the minutes without objection. We will approve them. And we are now to ordinances for first read. And Ms. Crawford.
Do you want to do the walk-in first? An ordinance by Zoning Committee to amend the 1982 Atlanta Zoning Ordinance as amended by amending the C5 district regulations to add parks, playgrounds, stadiums, soccer, baseball, football, and other athletic fields, golf courses, sports arenas, and community centers as a permissible use by special use permit and for other purposes.
And this is a first read, so it will be, we will accept it along with the rest.
Correct. Yes.
All right. And if you'll read the rest of the first reads, we'll accept them all as a block. Thank you.
Ordinance 16-0.
And we've been joined by Councilwoman Keisha Lance Bottoms. Thank you for being here.
Ordinance 1601151, U1606, an ordinance by Zoning Committee granting a special use permit for outdoor amusement enterprises, exhibits, entertainments, meetings, displays, or sales areas, or outdoor areas for religious ceremonies of 90 days or more, pursuant to Code Section 1615-0051, see property located at 310 Trenholm Street Southwest. This is within MPUM, Council District 1. Ordinance 16011.
Excuse me, that's Council District 4, is it not?
I'm sorry, 4. Yes,
thank
it
you.
Is.
Okay.
Ordinance 1601152, U1605, an ordinance by Zoning Committee, granting a special use permit for outdoor dining and eating and drinking establishments when any such use is within 1,000 feet of property that is zoned residentially or used residentially, pursuant to Code Section 1611-0051L, for property located at 1203 Collier Road, Northwest, Landlot 186, 17th District, Fulton County, Georgia. The owner is Janet Goth. Applicant is Garrett Coley, MPUC, District 9. Ordinance 1601153, Z1610, an ordinance by Zoning Committee to rezone from the R5 two-family residential district to the I-1 light industrial district, property located at 536 Decatur Street, approximately 0.57 acres, Landlot 45 of the 14th District, Fulton County, Georgia. The owner is Craig Moore. The applicant is Rex Bray, NPUM, Council District 2. Ordinance 1601154, Z1612, an ordinance by Zoning Committee to rezone from the R4, I1, and I2 district to the MRC2 district for property located at 640 North Avenue, also parcels numbers 14011100003015, 630 North Avenue, which is parcel number 14011100003052, parcel 14011100003053, parcel 14011100003066, parcel 14011100003067, and parcel 14011100003068 Northwest. The area is approximately 1.60 acres, landlot 82 and 111 of the 14th District, Fulton County, Georgia. The owner is 640 North Avenue Partners, LLC. The applicant is Georgia Ayers, is MPUL, Council District 2. Ordinance 1601155 is Z1613, an ordinance by Zoning Committee to rezone from the R4 District to the MR3 District for property located at 2742 and 2748 Alpine Road Northeast. It's approximately 0.647 acres, landlot 6017 District, Fulton County, Georgia. The owners are Richard and Stuart Aiken. The applicant is Gordon Goodman, MPUB, Council District 7. Ordinance 1611-56 is D1614, an ordinance by Zoning Committee to rezone from the SPI 9 subarea 3 district to the SPI 9 subarea 3 district for a site plan amendment and changing conditions for property located at 3150 East Chatillon Avenue Northeast. Area is approximately 0.1649 acres, landlot 6117 District Fulton County, Georgia. The owner is 3205 Peachtree LLC. The applicant is WP South Acquisitions LLC, NPUB Council District 7. Ordinance 1611-57, Z1615, an ordinance by Zoning Committee to rezone from the R5, I1, and I2, also a Beltline Overlay District, to the MR4A Beltline Overlay District for property located at 832, 838, 842 Byrne Street, Southeast, and 827, 831, 835, and 837 Killian Street, Southeast. The area is approximately 3 acres, landlot 11 and 22 of the 14th District, Fulton County, Georgia. The owner is Lafarge Building Materials Incorporated. The applicant is Stephen Rothman, MPUW, Council District 1.
Do I have a motion to accept all of these first reads?
So moved.
Carla Smith makes a motion, and welcome to the committee, Ms. Smith. Any discussion? Yes, Mr. Shook.
Well, and looking at the walk-in paper that would amend C5 by adding these uses via special use permit, my question is, why wouldn't we make the same amendment to the other C classifications? I mean, this seems to be cherry picking to me. It seems what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And if we if the committee agreed, then catching this early would allow us to correct this early instead of it months from now.
This is a site in Castleberry Hill that they wish to have a soccer field. And so this is the text amendment.
Okay. I'm all for it.
So explain again what you're asking.
Why not C4? Why not C3? Why not C2? Why not C1? Why just C5?
Yes. Our planning director is here. Yes.
I'm Charlotta Wilson-Jacks, Director of Office of the Planning. Mr. Shook does raise a good point. What we will do, if I could request that you receive it as a first read, and what we will do is evaluate the C4, C3, and C2s and look at it to make sure it is not a use permitted by special permit in those districts. And if that is the case and it seems to be something that is very supportable, we can certainly amend that paper and substitute it by the time it gets to Zoning Review Board.
My purpose of catching this now,
yes,
was so that we would not deprive the people in Castleberry Hills of their goal. It just, intellectually, I see no reason why we're excluding the other classifications.
Yes. Do you want to make an amendment to this paper to include the others?
Yeah. If you would allow us to do the research,
yeah. Okay.
And then we could either come back here at your next committee and bring a substitute, or we could substitute it at Zoning Review Board.
We'll accept it as a first read, and they can do further evaluation.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Shook. Very point very well made.
Thank you.
All right. And now we're on to the second reads for action. And Ms. Crawford.
Ordinance 1504106, the zoning number is Z1572. The location of the properties is 839, 825, 821 Beecher Street, 785, 795, 801, 809, 819, 825, 837, 889 Lee Street, and parcel numbers 14010, 70000, 6063, parcel 14010, 70000, 6064, parcel 14010700006065, and parcel 14010700004048. MPUG adjacent to MPUV, Council District 4, a change in zoning from subarea SPI 21, subarea 4 and 6 to MRC1C. The staff recommendation also with the MPU and ZRB is approval conditional. It's before you with the recommendation of favorable as amended.
We have a motion to approve as amended. Any discussion? If not, all in favor, please say aye. Aye. It's approved as amended. Thank you.
Ordinance 16-0-1036, U-1522. The property address is 2575 Austin Drive, 2528 Austin Drive, 2609 Memorial Drive, 254 Eastlake Drive Southeast. Also 2560 Austin Drive, 254 Club Place, 2012 Glenwood Avenue, 2124 Glenwood Avenue, 2173 Memorial Drive, 1715 Glen Cove Avenue, and 1714 Glen Cove Avenue Southeast, MPUO, Council District 5. It's a special use permit for a private club and golf course. The staff recommendation is approval of the substitute ordinance. The MPU recommends approval. The ZRB recommends approval of a substitute ordinance. It's before you with a recommendation of favorable upon substitute.
All right, we have a motion to approve on substitute. Any discussion? If not, all in favor, please say aye. Aye, it's approved. Next, Ms. Crawford.
Ordinance 15-0-1572, zoning number is Z-1565 at 79 Jackson Street Southeast within MPUM, Council District 2. A change in zoning from R5 to the MR4AC category. The staff recommendation is approval of the substitute ordinance. The MPU recommends approval. ZRB also recommends approval of the substitute ordinance. And this legislation should be amended to reflect the caption to be rezoned to the substitute of MR4AC.
All right, we have a motion to amend. Any discussion? If not, all in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And now it is before us amended. Do I have a motion to approve as amended?
On substitute as amended.
All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
That is amended. It's approval on substitute as amended. Thank you. Next.
Ordinance 15-0-1446. The zoning number is Z-1542 for 1527 Northside Drive and a portion of 1541 Northside Drive Northwest within MPUE Council District 8. A change in zoning from C2 and MR4AC, also the Beltline Overlay District, to MR4ABC, Beltline Overlay District. The staff recommendation is approval of the substitute ordinance. The MPU recommends approval conditional. ZRB recommends approval of a substitute ordinance. And an amended site plan was submitted for this application. We received it, and it date stamped it for 3/25/16. The zoning conditions, which are already attached, should be updated to reflect that amended site plan. So there is a committee amendment form before you that changes changes condition number one to reflect the recently submitted amended site plan.
All right, and do I have a motion to amend? I have a motion to amend. All in, yes, go ahead, Mr. Wan.
Ms. Crawford, I don't know if this question is for you, but as I'm looking at the revised condition, it starts out conceptually, the project shall be developed consistent. So that, maybe this is a law department question. That, to me, creates a lot of wiggle room. And is everybody, is the city and department okay with that flexibility?
Yes. So this property is being rezoned to the MR district, which means that the applicant also has to apply for an SAP.
Okay.
There are certain modifications that are made through the SAP process.
Thank you for the question.
Motion to amend. Any discussion? If not, all in favor, please say aye to the amendment.
Aye.
Done. And now the papers before us.
Motion to approve on substitute
is amended. Any discussion? If not, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
That's done. All right, the last one, Ms. Crawford.
Ordinance 15-0-1496. The application number is U-1515. Property located at 40 Forsyth Street Northwest within MPUM, Council District 2. It is a special use permit for digital industry switchboards, relay equipment, and associated power generators as a principal use. The staff recommendation is to file. The MPU recommends approval conditional. The ZRB recommends to file. It's here before you with an overall recommendation to file.
I thought this was withdrawn. Do we file it even though it has been withdrawn?
Yes.
Okay. Move to file. Any discussion? If not, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
It is filed. That is all of the business that is before us today. And so now we go to the presentation.
I've got one held paper that I like to pull off. Held and take action on. Item 1515-0-1331.
Thank you, Mr. Young. I will, Ms. Crawford, if you would read that one in for us. It's number 15 on our agenda. Thank you, Mr. Young.
Ordinance 1501331, the zoning number is Z1530, an ordinance by Zoning Committee to rezone from the C1C Community Business Conditional District to the C1 Community Business Conditional District, well, Community Business District, property located at 373 Westlake Avenue Northwest. The area is approximately 0.459 acres, landlot 4614 District, Fulton County, Georgia. The owner is Veterans Empowerment Organization. The applicant is Jonathan D. Mayweather. The staff recommendation is to file. The MP recommends approval. ZRB also recommends to file.
I'd like to offer a motion to file.
There's a motion to file. Any discussion on that motion? If not, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. It stands filed. Thank you. And now we had the presentation on industrial zoned properties. Ms. Crawford.
Good morning, Brandy Crawford, Office of Planning. This office provides typically 2 to 4 updates per year for properties that have been zoned industrial but were rezoned to different zoning categories. So we can go to the next. I don't have the remote. The next slide. Okay. So there are two industrial zoning districts here in the city of Atlanta. We have the I-1 and then the I-2 zoning district. I-1 provides for sort of more friendly industrial uses. Wholesaling, warehousing, storage, and other retail, also eating and drinking establishments. You normally see I-1 districts along rail corridors of the Atlanta Beltline and also near the interstates, obviously. We have the I-2 zoning district, which allows all the uses permitted in the I-1 district plus heavier industrial uses. So those heavier uses could be salvage yards, automobile service facilities, and uses that typically we don't like to see near residentially zoned districts. Thank you. So the city of Atlanta has approximately 85,716 acres that are zoned either I-1 or I-2. And so if you look at that number, thank you. About 5.7% of the city is zoned I-1. And 9.2% of the city is zoned I-2. And the map that you see on the screen shows you in red the parcels that are zoned either I-1 or I-2.
Patch of land that we see there, mostly in northwest Atlanta?
Correct.
Oh, joy. So
those are the industrially zoned parcels, whether they're zoned I-1 or I-2. Yes. So in the last half of last year, we only had 2 zoning applications that rezoned property either from the I-1 or I-2 zoning district to a different zoning category. The first one was Z1512, and the property address was 1055 through 1077 Brady Avenue and 1034 Howell Mill Road Northwest. And it was a rezoning that was filed from the I-2 zoning district to the MRC2 zoning district. It was within the Home Park neighborhood, MPUE, Council District 3. The site was approximately 3 acres in size, and it was rezoned for the purpose of building a multifamily development project with a non-residential component, which would be retail and commercial. So we'll have 386 multifamily units and also a little over 15,000 square feet of non-residential floor area within the development as well. This was approved in September of last year. Here's the site here. You'll see Brady Avenue and Howell Mill Road. So the site, if you even go out to it today, has certain commercial uses and industrial uses that will, after redevelopment, be converted into a mixed-use development. The second case that we have was actually a proactive rezoning that was sponsored by Councilmember Moore in her district. And it rezoned the Howell Mill Corridor from about Interstate 75. That's the southernmost boundary. It goes north until maybe the CSX rail line crosses under Howell Mill Road. The zoning of the properties prior to it being rezoned was C1, C1C, C2, C2C, I-1, and I-1C. And the rezoning rezoned it to the MRC2C category. These properties were within 2 neighborhoods, so Berkeley Park and Underwood Hills, MPUD Council District 9. And as I said before, the boundaries was Interstate 75 until about Forest and Morris Streets to the north. It included 80 parcels, which includes about 49 acres. This was also approved in September 2015. So this rezoning did not result in a change of use necessarily. It was a proactive rezoning that put certain conditions of zoning in place just for the properties be redeveloped. The MRC2 zoning requirements would be in place at that time. Next couple slides show you the boundaries of the use. So you see Interstate 75, which is to the south, and it travels until about the rail line crosses under Howell Mill Road to the north. These are a few slides that show what's developed on the parcels today. So last half of the year, we only rezoned we had two different zoning applications that rezoned properties from either I-1 and I-2, typically to the MRC, the Quality of Life Zoning Districts. Just to give you guys an update as well, so the Office of Planning did introduce the I-mixed zoning category, which is a new category. So the purpose of that category is to sort of blend the Quality of Life Districts with the industrial districts, maybe an I-1 use. And so it would allow for uses that you have in I-1 but pared down so that they're more friendly. We call them sort of low-impact industrial uses. But you would also have the requirements for the streetscape. You would have requirements for street trees, lighting, sidewalks that you have in the quality of life district. And the point of it is to make sure that we maintain a certain portion of industrial zoning categories and jobs, but also make sure they're scaled to properly fit within sort of an urban character and urban uses. So that's been filed. We'll send that to the MPUs in the next week or so to get their review and comment. It's filed as a text amendment, so we'll go through the full public hearing process, and it'll come to this committee, once that process has been completed.
And I have a question from Mr. Wan.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Crawford, for the presentation. This is a topic that I bring up quite frequently, and I don't know if it's more appropriate to discuss it in the context of CDP and land use or with zoning. But I guess I come at it from an economic development standpoint. I don't know if y'all have looked at or planning overall has looked at. There should be probably some best practices or theories in terms of what the appropriate mix of residential, commercial, and industrial would be for a thriving city, a metropolis. I'm not sure what the right scale would be, because in talking about economic development, you've got to look at all full range, full spectrum of businesses and opportunities that you might be able to offer for anyone either wanting to expand or relocate. And as we continue to chip away at industrial, we start limiting our ability to attract or retain or grow businesses that would need that particular zoning category or land use category. And I see that the best slide, or not best, but the most revealing slide is, I think, the fourth one that talks about we've got 5.7% of I-1 and 9.2% I-2. And so that, if I'm reading you correctly, that means we've got roughly 14% of our overall acreage for industrial. And I just don't know if that's the right, are we, on target, are we below, are we above? And that's just the one thing that I hope that someone in the city is monitoring, perhaps with the new zoning code rewrite and really the overall new planning strategy that Commissioner Keene is bringing. It's something that we can keep our eyes on, because I just hope rezoning industrial always involves kind of a more attractive use visually, aesthetically, and from if they're abutting neighborhoods, there's always this desire to, your pictures say 1,000 words, what was there before versus what could be. But at the same time, I think we just got to be mindful about the decisions we're making, that we don't hamper in the future and end up realizing that if there is another economic change or kind of industrial manufacturing change, that we're not positioned to be a player or take advantage of that. I don't know if y'all have any thoughts on that.
Thank you for those comments. And actually, we do.
Okay.
About 10 years ago, there was a study that was conducted called the Northwest Area Framework Plan, primarily up in the Northwest area around Huff Road, around Culpeper, Fairmont. And during that time, I know that the policy in the office was to actually rezone those properties to a mixed residential commercial use, and that then started the trend to rezoning all of those properties up in those areas to that. And so we lost a lot of industrially zoned properties. And what we realized is that those mixed residential, commercial, small-scale retail would not support jobs for the workforce right. that would allow them to pay actually mortgages to have a, you know, very good standard of living.
Right.
So about 3 years ago, we worked with the Georgia Tech Institute. We had a design studio that actually helped us develop an industrial preservation policy.
Okay.
And so since that time, we've actually become more cognizant of rezoning our industrial zone properties to other categories. We have held the line, particularly when the CDP gives us more teeth to actually support holding the line for industrially zoned properties. Ms. Crawford talked to you about the iMix, and this is another way for us to preserve industrial zone properties, particularly around the Beltline and some other areas that warrant putting a mixture of uses there and make them more palatable for developers. So this iMix district would actually allow for residential uses to be a part of it, because right now you cannot include residential uses as a part of the I-1 or the I-2. And one particular area is along Donnelly Avenue in District 4, right along the Beltline and White Street, where there are some solid industrially zoned buildings, as well as in District 3, that are prime for iMix. And we have people coming to talk to us about maintaining some of the existing businesses, but also kind of elevating that use and including more eating and drinking establishment, as well as residential, more lofts. So,
okay.
You know, in summary, what I want to say is that we are focused on maintaining our industrially zoned properties, particularly when there is an active industrial use that has jobs right. that help our citizens maintain very good standards of living.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. I am curious to learn more about the new proposed zoning, industrial mix zoning.
Yes.
And I'm not suggesting that we take a hard, fast line that absolutely not. We won't rezone industrial. I do think there is the highest and best use discussion that comes into play when we're talking about parcels. I'm relieved to hear that we're taking a very thoughtful and deliberate approach to this, and not
yes.
just.
And each time
decisions.
You see a report, you'll notice that the number of properties rezoned has decreased
yeah,
from the previous
right.
time, because right. actually we haven't supported it, and you've not supported it, so that helps us with our preservation policy.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Jackson.
Mr. Young.
You showed one of the slides over there near Brady Avenue and Midtown West, the white provision area, and that area. A good many of those properties, I remember the M Street apartments on Marietta Street were light or heavy industrial uses up and down Marietta Street. And as you can see, a lot of those have evolved. We've recently had an issue, which I don't know if we're at liberty to talk about on air, regarding the enterprise zone designation for that area. Has that been reconciled yet?
That has not. It has been reconciled to the point where we have determined that those properties that we discussed previously were not eligible for the current enterprise zone legislation. And this particular property as well would not be eligible for that tax abatement because it is a residential development as opposed to an industrial commercial property, as the enterprise zone legislation dictates.
Okay, it just seemed, well, and I understand there's some legal questions around it, so if we're not able to talk about this now, I'll defer. But
right, we would want to talk about that at a different time, but we are in discussions with the property owners and their attorneys.
All right, thank you.
All right, any other discussion on this presentation? Okay. And where do we stand on the zoning ordinance rewrite? What are next steps there? Can we get a quick update on that, please?
You know, that's exciting for me to talk about.
So I know.
I don't have an issue with that. So actually, I had a detailed conversation with a consultant on yesterday. We are in the process of finalizing some additional, even though it wasn't a part of it. I think it's necessary and it's important that we go back out and have a second round of public information meetings. So we're having our discussion on that. I've been in discussions with Mr. Pace, and I want to schedule a work session from this committee to have this committee kind of shepherd that work session. And I am also going to be talking with the consultant some more about how we can expand their scope of work, and we'll be looking for some approvals and support from you on that end, because there are some quick fixes, some drill downs that we could actually take care of, and that will require some additional contractual activity. So we are moving along. They are getting ready to complete a next task, which I think would be the topic of conversation there. As a result of the input received, we know that we can't complete a new zoning ordinance in a year, but we can do some quick fixes that will allow us to remedy some of the things that are causing some heartburn.
All right, and we had those two public information hearings back in January. Did those ever get on our cable channel?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, actually, we sent the completed video to Mr. Chambers.
Okay.
So he should have that, and I believe it is also listed on the website at AtlantaZoningCo.org, as well as on the department. So Mr. Chambers was given that so that he could distribute it to you and the rest of the committee.
Okay, I will double check with him.
Yes.
And will you please give us about 2 weeks' notice on the public information meetings so that we can notify our constituents, because we had great turnout last time.
Yes.
And I'd like to make sure that we get notified with enough lead time that we get that message out across the city.
Yes, I do need, I'll be talking to some of you, because I am looking for another location for the south side. So I'll put that out there, and we can have an offline course.
I think okay. You have an interested party up here.
Very good. I thought it would be good. Very
thank
good.
You.
Thank you. Thank you for your support of that.
Thank you. All right. If there is no further business, we're adjourned.
For civilization. They taught the whole world. And then we had somebody come in and said they want us to be divided up. That was Constantine, that was Alexander the Great, and Ptolemy the first, all the way up to the 14th. Miss Archibald, it's embarrassing for me to be a taxpayer, to come down here to be a one who want to give some public comments. Didn't have a black person like you did. Just sit down. We don't want to hear you. I hope you people that hear me today, every major city you go in, you got black folks governing it, and they are just running the governor's interest in the ground. You go in your black neighborhood, you don't have anything. Don't have no service that are adequate compared to the majority of rich blacks or the Caucasian. But let me make it very clear to hear that, Ms. Archibald. When I was a slave, I understood that I was being mistreated. But I come to the city hall where I pay taxes in watershed. I pay taxes for this whole system of public works. It's unfair. I come to ask you all, as I wanted Ms. McQueen to know, you got $2.2 billion that you're going to have allocated and spent within the next 10 years. You have a media outreach program. You have programs I heard were said in the briefing this morning that led, may be in some of the older homes, Mr. Martin, but we will have an evaluation by the watershed management for that. Nobody want to try to find out whether or not you can order these folks to do that. You don't care because inner city and poor black folk. I heard today you talk about hiring people for watershed. If they got some kind of problem, you don't want them to be hired. You got over 60% locked up. My time is up. I'm glad it's up, Ms. Archibald. Cut it off. You are a bad example for
Ms.
black
Latipo
folks.
Ms. Latipo is next. Edith Latipo. Sometimes bad is good.
Edith Latipo, Cascade Community Business Association and Vice President of Adams Park Association. A couple of weeks ago, we started a process of trying to get some very serious and hazardous conditions improved on in the Utoy Creek watershed area. And we've tried over a five-year period to get these issues resolved, and we have not been able to. We did have the state of Georgia come and look at it from Department of Natural Resources last year. We invited Watershed to participate in this tour, but for some reason they were not able to participate. They were interested in giving us a 319 grant to make these improvements. And because they could not get the support from the city of Atlanta, the grant went to someone else. I have given this information to send it to the mayor's office, and I've sent it to almost all of you on the council. These conditions are very serious and hazardous, and I would like to know from watershed management if they have a priority list on how they determine what areas they're going to work in and what they're going to do and what conditions must exist in order for them to come to the community. So I would like to hear from that, if not today, in writing. Thank you.
Is someone here from the department who can react to what we just heard? Yes, sir. Come on up, Mr. Gibbs.
Certainly. I had a chance to speak briefly with a constituent, and I'm actually taking this now, once we leave here, to get with my team to see exactly what we have going on out there and seek quick resolution.
And on this 319, is it G or H, whatever the grant?
Or the grant funding.
Yeah, were you aware of the timeline?
I was not. And I'm thinking of.
Okay. This kind of reminds me of some of the conversations we had in the early days with Proctor Creek. So I'd like to have, to Ms. Latipo's point, you look at it, respond to her, but also let us know a reaction to all the things that she's presented to the committee.
Certainly will.
All right. Thank you. Anything else for the good of the body? If not, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
Midtown Alliance has a lot of different roles that we play in Midtown, but really it's just to make an exceptional urban experience in every dimension.
You've got a lot of signalized intersections in a really dense area of our city right now, and it's important that they are able to be programmed correctly so you're not stopping unnecessarily. And so part of what Renew Atlanta is going to do is help improve those signal connections. I'm excited about Renew Atlanta and the bond program to be able to inject some new money into some much-needed repairs. And Renew Atlanta is going to help us get to the last bit of that work in terms of repairing broken communication equipment. So to be a part of it makes it really easy to come to work every day.
Hi, I'm Community Development and Human Resources Committee Chair, Andre Dickens. Our committee meets every other Tuesday at 12:30 for matters related to land use plans, housing-related programs, housing code enforcement, urban redevelopment, parks, recreation, and cultural affairs, as well as many other functions. The public is invited to all meetings here at City Hall.
We are Metro Atlanta's gateway to the world, enabling nonstop access to some 70 international destinations in more than 45 countries. With award-winning efficiency, world-class concessions, and a commitment to exceeding your expectations. But the one destination we are most proud of connecting you with is home. For with a student returning after her first semester away. For international visitors reconnecting with their families. For the valiant men and women in uniform.
Looking to take a journey into the past? The Atlanta History Center is awaiting your arrival. Situated on 32 acres of gardens, trails, and woodlands, here you'll find everything from exhibitions on the Civil War and Southern folk art to African American heritage and the 96th Centennial Olympic Games. So much to see, you just might want to spend the day here. We wanted to start with the Keenan Research Center. The public archive and research facility is home to everything that tells the story of Atlanta's history and its southern culture. Sue Verhoff is senior archivist.
We have wonderful things like Atlanta City Directories, which if you have family that lived in Atlanta are a wonderful way to pick up those gaps in the census record. We have those that date back to 1859, and they're a wonderful resource.
A resource officials here hope you'll take advantage of. Research is a really big draw.
A lot of folks come here to find out about their home or about their neighborhood. And then we've got folks that are just here doing straight academic work that are looking for civil rights information, military history, how the city grew and developed. Notice this man. What is he wearing? Well, he's wearing a union uniform.
Over 33,000 volumes in open shelves for the reading room. 8,000 rolls of microfilm, including both the Atlanta Journal and the Constitution, dating back to 1868.
Anything that you want to know about the history of the city, we can probably help you. From soup to nuts, we've got something on almost everything.
This is Stacks 1, the largest of five here in this building. 3,000 square feet of everything from books to publications to maps and photos. It's all here, very well protected and guarded, and climate controlled at a nice, cool 68 degrees.
As for research, the center offers a number of programs for the public. The History Center can help you learn more about using DNA to trace your family tree, with genealogy classes held quarterly.
A lot of folks kind of think that they can swab their cheek, send it off, and get a pedigree chart back, and it just doesn't work that way. You have to kind of know what research goals you have in order to know whether you want to pick the Y or the mitochondria or the autosomal tests. So we'll kind of try to unravel some of those confusing things in that program.
The center's scope reaches beyond the city. The center collects for the whole eastern seaboard. There are books on every county in the state of Georgia, every southern state, and all of the original 13 colonies. Whether you're looking to research or spend a few hours reading, the Atlanta History Center is one stop you'll definitely want to make. In Atlanta, Phyllis Jackson, City Channel 26.
Transformation at an unprecedented level does not come easily. It takes determination, forward thinking, and vision to create a great change. To transform the aviation hub of the Southeast into a regional, global gateway, it took two men who possessed courage, fortitude, and passion. Two men serving decades apart, dedicated to a single vision to make Atlanta's airport an international, regional, and global model for aviation efficiency and economic impact. William B. Hartsfield and Maynard H. Jackson Jr. were those two men. And because of their actions, dedication, and inspiration, Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport continues to prosper, grow, and find great success, flight after flight, year after year. Perhaps it's these two visionaries who said it best in the words of William B. Hartsfield: somehow, Atlanta always meets the challenge. We have been doing it and will continue in the years to come. In the words of Maynard H. Jackson: we stand not as much as a gate.